Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Mark Smith, who wrote The Revenant, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. Hi Mark.
Hey Jenna, how are you?
Great, thanks so much for taking time to talk to me. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
The Revenant terrified me. I was like, my heart was racing on the way home. I felt from the theater, I felt like...
That's good. That's what we were going after.
I felt so tense. What an incredible feat in filmmaking, but I bet it was also an incredible feat in screenwriting, too. Can you talk about the writing process? How did you get all that down on the page?
Yeah, it's funny. When I write, I'm a notoriously terrible outliner, and so whenever they sent me the Revenant, the novel, to possibly adapt, and I knew it was going to be difficult to, you know, because of the period piece and just, you know, for a studio kind of to be able to get behind that. So I actually started out, I only took a little bit from the novel itself, and then what I kind of did was jotted down, instead of outlining, I jotted down like these just set pieces, things I knew that I would want to kind of grab the reader, and you know, like the opening Arikara battle, and you know, the horse going off the cliff, and Glass kind of, you know, sealing his throat shut with gunpowder, you know, and you know, a battle on an icy river, and all of those kind of things I jotted down first before I ever started writing, because I knew we were going to have, you know, I was going to have 35 or 40 pages without a word of dialogue, and that was tough. People just don't do that, and so I knew that I had to have my big moments, and I had to have, you know, that were powerful enough kind of to make everyone forget that no one was saying anything, and, so that was kind of the key, and then during that, you know, the probably the toughest part for me was that, you know, the stretch of a film when there are no words, because you kind of, every move is like so vital. You can have no wasted movement, and so no wasted action. So everything was kind of felt overly important, because you had to get all of the emotion and all of the, you know, everything kind of through the action and through what we were seeing as far as the world changing and everything. Because in a lot of scripts I've written and a lot of things you see, you're able to use dialogue sometimes as a cheat, kind of to you know, kind of explain the things to the audience and make everything easier, you know, kind of simplify it. But by not having that, then we had to find other ways to, you know, to tell the story and to make sure that everyone understood. And so, it was a challenge, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Is it still one page to 1 minute, typically?
It is. Yeah, no, my draft came in, I think, at... I think all of my different drafts, and I've probably written about 15, you know, from the first to the last, I think they were all from 107 pages to 110.
So, wow.
Yeah, so they came in, and that was it. The action was very written out. You know, it wasn't like, you know, okay, a bear attacks and they struggle. You know, the bear attack scene went for, you know, and it was probably 3 pages of script. And so, because I felt like the action of what you wanted to see, again, it had to be, I felt like I wanted it to be strong enough that, again, that it almost worked as a silent film, if that makes any sense.
So to talk about the bear scene in particular, you choreographed that on the page, you were saying, because I've heard, I mean, I don't know, actually I've never checked this fact, but I've heard many screenwriting professors or people that I've talked to say that in Gone with the Wind, it just says, Sherman burns Atlanta, and there's not all the detail. But I don't know if that seems practical or even is true, but I'm just curious, you plotted out, you know, the bear scene and what happens, and you choreograph it on the page, or how much is done in blocking of when they're shooting?
Right, well, and it was funny what I did. I mean, actually, from the first moment, I mean, it's when the bear kind of rushes out of the brush and hits him and slams him into a tree, and all of that is written out. You know, the first blow and he hits a tree and the leg snaps, and you're getting all of that. And then, of course, Alejandro just is so great that he added even more to it, you know, more elements. Like, mine all took place in kind of one attack, and I was cutting back and forth to the other guys, the other, you know, the trappers running to him because they heard the attack. But what Alejandro did that was so great, I thought, was he took out my cuts to the other, and he just stayed on that one thing. So we stayed with Leo, we stayed with Glass the entire attack, and it just, it makes you feel more so like you're there, you know, the way he shot it. And
absolutely. And then, I'm never hiking again, by the way. I don't I want that to happen.
I know. That's what my joke now is, to, you know, if you're going to go jogging or hiking, would you always take a friend and then make sure that the friend runs slower than you do? You know, so that's kind of the key to survival. But it was so much. I mean, I did like the way it was on the page, but Alejandro Chivo and Leo, I mean, it just, again, they just took it to a completely other level.
And what's it like to work with Leonardo? What does he come in, read the script, and give you his thoughts? And if he has notes, what's it like to take notes from him? I mean, he just is such an amazing actor.
Yeah, no, he was so great. And I mean, this movie kind of took longer to happen because he was always the guy we wanted, and so we just kept waiting until he was available. And because he'd known about the script for a few years, but it was just like to get the timing for he and Alejandro together. And once he got involved, he's so smart, and he's unlike so many other actors who are looking for more dialogue or more lines. He was, you know, our discussion actually back and forth was less is more. So he and I'd go over a scene and we'd talk about how, you know, let's pull back here. Let's have Glass actually say less. And because he saw Glass kind of the way I saw the script, it was that no wasted motion. He felt like Glass, every movement was a movement of survival and just going through. There was nothing that he wasted. And so he didn't want to waste any words either. So I just thought it was unlike any actor I've worked with or been around that actually said, no, give me less to say. You know, you just don't have them turning down lines or anything.
Right.
And he was the exact opposite of that. And it was, he knew the character and so well, and he brought so much to it. It's funny, on the page, it's almost like, you know, I feel like I kind of, you know, the screenplay is all sketched out, you know, and everything, and it's all written there. But then, and I give it to him, and then he kind of, like, you know, he hands back the Mona Lisa or something, because it's, he just takes it, you know, and elevates it so much.
That is so awesome. Well, there's been a lot of news about how much turmoil there was during the filming. Just, you know, there's so many difficult things, the weather, the kind of shots you were doing. Were you on set, and what was that like for you?
I was, but I was always in the background, so it didn't affect Alejandro. The way he shoots, everything is so choreographed because there aren't a lot of cuts. There's one camera, and he and Chivo have every shot and every movement so laid out in advance that whenever they're shooting, that's it. There's no rewriting to be done. There's no, you know, he'll go back and look at some of the dailies or something, and then he might ask me to fix something and he'd reshoot it. But for the most part, I mean, I felt a little guilty because while they're out there suffering, I could watch and you know, and then I get really cold and miserable, I go get, you know, a hot chocolate. And so I had easily the best gig on the whole thing. So no complaints. But what they went through, I mean, was just incredible. I watched for hours as Leo would be just laying submerged in an icy river, and then they would stick heaters up under his clothes and warm him up, and then he'd go back in until he started trembling too much that, you know, they had to, it wasn't working for the shot, so then they'd pull him out and warm him up again and then throw him back in. And it was just what they did, and the cast and the crew and everyone, it was really I was just thrilled kind of to watch. It was just like almost an honor to be there to watch, like, the very best do it under these conditions. And the cold and the, you know, kind of the conditions kind of bonded everyone in a way, you know, and it did, because it wasn't unlike Glass and the Trappers. You know, there was like a survival mode that everyone kind of, you know, slid into. So, I think it served. It was miserable at times for people, but I do think it served the film well.
Well, I mean, it's just sort of, it happened because of the way, you know, where you're filming, it makes sense that it would be obviously cold if you want to shoot in the snow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand. So I just wanted to talk one more question about how you set up the characters. I really loved Tom Hardy's character, Fitzgerald. And early on, it's not clear who's the bad guy. I mean, it's sort of
right.
It's a slow burn. Was that on purpose that you sort of just sort of gently showed his antagonistic state?
Yes. What we were going for all along was really that there were no black hats, no white hats, no good guys, no bad guys. We wanted to kind of live in that gray area which we felt like was probably, you know, is truer to the world, and especially to that time when the world was really about survival. Everyone was just trying to survive this kind of untamed land. We felt like we wanted some of his actions and his logic to make sense, you know, that some of the things that he wanted, they were correct, you know, it was the right, you know, in some ways it's the right decision. You sacrifice one to save more, you know, to save many. And so it just became that he just, once he went, it kind of spiraled out of control for him, you know, and everything good was good until kind of when he killed Hawk, and he kind of stepped over the line there. And you can kind of see his character change at that point, because it's, you know, he knows he stepped over the line, and suddenly the guilt, and suddenly you can kind of feel that, you know, that he knows everything's changed forever at that point. But until that point, I think he was just more of an unhappy, selfish, you know, maybe in a way, person, you know, but nothing evil, you know, and it just kind of, you know, it just became that. It just grew that through the journey.
Well, I noticed he makes some racist comments, and I thought, wow, I think that's, you know, the audience gets a bad vibe from that. And I thought that was a subtle way to sort of give a hint that maybe he wasn't the nicest.
Yeah. Well, that was it. Yeah. We wanted to make sure, and some of that was Tom too, because he wanted to make sure that it came across and clearly. But it was that his character was just very, I think, unfortunately, racism, I think, then was so commonplace. And especially as, you know, as the whites and the Europeans were moving into that world that was kind of up for grabs at that point, you know, and so everyone was kind of converging at once, and the Native Americans were, you know, it was their home, but they were just being driven out, and, you know, and so it was an unfortunately a very racist, you know, type of atmosphere and type of world. So Fitzgerald was kind of, we used him as our kind of point of view into that attitude.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I hope, I'm going to see if I have time for one more question.
Sure.
The ending, I've talked to different friends who've seen the ending, and there's different interpretations of what happens at the end. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but did you write it as sort of open-ended or an interpretative way? Was that your intention?
It's a thing, and I'll answer, there are a few things like that, and it's funny because people have asked about character and about, you know, certain things that are done. In some of the versions of the script, things were clearer, and as he was doing it, he wanted the audience to be totally immersed in the story and feel like they were there. So he felt like he wanted them to, as we do it with people we meet every day, each of us have kind of a different opinion about them. He didn't want everything to be so clear, and so he wanted different members of the audience to feel differently and have their own interpretation. So we were intentionally vague, if that makes any sense, as far as the ending and what we were going for, because we wanted people to have something to discuss about what he went through with his journey, what's next for him, and that type of thing, so that it wasn't just kind of all cookie cuttered and you know, you lay out, you know, when you walk out of the theater, you know exactly, you know, what happened. It just felt like it made it more real, you know, so that if you're going to go on this journey and you're going to, you know, he's going to put you there as close as he can, then he wants you, you know, Alejandro really wanted you to, the audience, to decide for themselves, kind of.
Really cool. Well, thank you so much, Mark. Congratulations. What an amazing accomplishment. Just incredible.
Thanks for this. Yeah, no, thank you. That's nice of you. And thanks for taking the time. I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, let's talk again for your next one.
Okay, no, I'd love to.
All right, take care. See you soon.
Okay,
bye, Jen. Bye.